بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمنون كرجل واحد إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Honorable ulama, respected huffaz, elders and brothers, mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we commence with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah who is mine and your soul, sustainer, cherisher, nourisher and protector. May Allah's choicest salutations continue to descend and flow upon our noble master, our teacher, our mentor, our guide and our leader, Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, in the ayat of the Kareema that I have recited before you in my introduction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. Glory be to that Allah. Glory be and praise be to that Allah who had taken his servant on a journey. Who had taken his servant on a journey by night. للمسجد الأقصى from مسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. From مسجد الحرام in مكة المكرمة to مسجد الأقصى. الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ Why did Allah speak of Masjid al-Aqsa? Allah specifically mentions Masjid al-Aqsa where its precincts Allah has blessed. Allah has blessed the surroundings of Masjid al-Aqsa. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا Then Allah says, we had taken our servant on this journey so that we may show him our signs. Respected elders and friends, this very famous verse that we generally hear about during the night of Laylatul Mi'raj, that will be very shortly inshallah, tells us why Al-Aqsa is and will always remain very close to the hearts of believers. Why Al-Aqsa is and why Al-Aqsa will always remain from amongst the holiest places in Islam. It was the destination of the prophetic journey Al-Isra and from there the ascension of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the heavens. Now this verse is immediately followed by seven others that talk about Jerusalem and the Jewish history. That talks about Jerusalem and the Jewish history. Now in very short, in a very gist form, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in these verses that the Jews had a covenant with Allah. They had a covenant, they had a promise with Allah. And in turn, Allah had promised to them that so as long as they lived up to this covenant, they would continuously receive the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the moment they broke this covenant, then Allah would inflict on them two punishments. Two punishments Allah would inflict on them. Nevertheless, respected elders and friends, due to time constraint, They went against the covenant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They broke every promise that they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And both of these punishments had prevailed upon them. Now we just fast forward to today's times. And we realize that the plunder and the pillage that the Zionist regime are carrying out today in Israel are perhaps very similar to the proud tribe of Qawmi Ad. The similarity between the two of them is as follows. Qawmi Ad, Allah had blessed them with immense power. Allah had blessed them with control of the universe of the world at that time. So in that proudness and in that arrogance of theirs, they said, Man ashaddu minna quwwa. Who is more powerful than us? powerful than us. Allah says, Awalam yarau. Allah says, Awalam yarau. Do they not see? Anna Allah alladhi khalaqahum. That Allah who created them. Huwa ashaddu minhum quwwah. Is that Allah not more powerful than them? Is that Allah not more strong than them? Nevertheless, respected elders and friends, these very same tribe, this Qawmi Ad, they were ultimately destroyed by Allah in raging winds that lasted for 7 nights and 8 days. And eventually in the end, they lay as they were uprooted trunks of hollow palm trees. That is how Allah destroyed them. History, inshallah, is bound to repeat itself. Say Ameen, respected friends. Now, the astonishing scale of this humanitarian crisis is only matched by the deafening drizzle of the international world. We perhaps would hear muted mumbles of restraint and perhaps hypocritical calls for restraint and for peace. The fact is that the Israelis plunder, they loot and invade with absolute impunity, with total disregard for international law, is simply inexplicable. Edward Said had written a beautiful article in this regard, and he quotes, and I quote him, and he says, in unveiling this duplicity, he says, it is simply extraordinary and without precedent that Israel's history, its record from the fact that it is a state that is built on conquest, that it has invaded surrounding countries, it has bombed and destroyed at will, to the fact that it occupies Lebanese, Syrian and Palestinian territory against international law, is simply never cited, never subjected to scrutiny in the media or in official discourse, never addressed as playing a major role in provoking Islamic terror. The persecution, we need to understand this point very well. The persecution of believers, of the reciters of the Kalima La ilaha illallah, is a phenomena that is not restricted to this present time or age. Allah alludes to this fact in the Quran Kareem. Allah draws mine and your attention to this point in the Quran Kareem. Allah says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ. Do men think, أَيُّتْرَكُ, that we will leave them, أَيَّقُولُ آمَنَّا, simply because they say that we believe, وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ, and they will not be tested. So it will be a continuous phase in a believer's life where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test on levels pertaining to the person's iman. Allah's grip, friends, is strong. Allah's grip is strong. Allah's power is irresistible. His wisdom is unquestionable. The grand plan of Allah will certainly come to pass, even though the tyrants detest it. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Verily those who persecute believing men and believing women, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا, and thereafter they do not repent for their actions. Allah says, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. For them, hell suffering awaits them, and they will have the chastisement of the burning fire. Elsewhere Allah says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَبَقُوا. Allah says, let those who are bent on denying the truth, let those who are bent on denying the truth, let them think that they shall escape Allah. إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُعْجِزُونَ. They can never frustrate the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. friends, what is remarkable is the spirit of determination. It's the spirit of determination that sustains the intifada in Palestine is indeed remarkable. You and I know that Israel has used every weapon in its arsenal. Every weapon in its arsenal to suppress the intifada. No means of force or weaponry, no matter how disproportionate, has ever had its desired effect. No amount of brutality can subdue the resolve of the Palestinian people. The glorious Quran says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا Do not grieve and do not be sad. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says, you will prevail, but there is a condition. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ If you are believers. If you believe in Allah in the manner that you ought to believe, Allah says, then you have no reason to grieve. You will prevail. Because Allah then further says, إِيَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْهٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْهٌ مِثْلُ Allah says that if misfortune touches you, know that similar misfortune had touched people of the past. Similar misfortune had touched people of the past. Then Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala apportions unto men such days of fortune and misfortune. It is Allah who apportions these days of fortune and misfortune so that Allah may test. This is the path, respected elders and friends. So that Allah may test those who believe and those who He chooses to become martyrs. What glad tidings, friends, for a believer. What glad tidings for a believer. Respected elders and friends, we need to understand that the tides of fortune and misfortune, they rotate according to the wisdom of Allah. They rotate according to the wisdom of Allah. Do not misconstrue the prosperity of the oppressors as Allah's inability to deal with his and your enemies. Do not ever think like that, that Allah is incapable, wa na'udhu billah, of dealing with his enemies. Allah's decision to allow the Muslims to die as martyrs is not due to the strength of the enemy, but it is due to the love that Allah has for somebody. Respected elders and friends, you will prevail. You will prevail if you maintain your identity and your faith and you display steadfastness in adversity as is and was clearly evident from the life of all the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam's night journey in which he led all the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam the two rakats of prayers in Masjid al-Aqsa had signified that the leadership role now has been transferred from the children of Israel to the children of Ismail. That leadership role has now been transferred. But with leadership comes accountability. With leadership comes accountability and responsibility. So as long as they remained true to the covenant of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always bestowed his blessings upon them. But the moment they broke the covenant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's punishment came. And during the year 638, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu walked into Jerusalem. And at that time, the superpower, the Roman Empire, could not stand in the way of the Muslim forces. Because now the new standard bearers of monotheism have been created. Respected elders and friends, Muslims ruled with justice. They ruled with compassion and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A new era of justice, peace and prosperity remained under continuous Muslim rule till the year 1917. With the exception, of course, of an 82 period of ruthless crusader rule, the area remained until 1917 in the hands of the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this period, again when Muslims turn back to the covenant, again when Muslims realize their mission in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah alayhi, who then defeated them in the year 1187. Again it was the infighting and the transgression which were the root of the dissolution of the Khilafah system and the start of the rule of the British Empire. As Muslims did not learn from their mistakes in the centuries that passed, this then was the start of the establishment of the Zionist state. The rest, you and I know, is history. The rest is history. Respected elders and friends, the events of this century, the events of this century must make us realize two factors. We need to understand two things. Firstly, that present-day Israel is ruled by Zionism and not by Judaism. Present-day Israel is ruled by Zionism and not by Judaism, which in any case over the centuries has been reformed beyond recognition as the original revealed religion. And we need to also understand that Zionism is just a particularly poisonous form of Western political nationalism. Second, Western civilization, despite all the polishing and despite all the enlightenment that they've shown to the world, will always remain a pagan civilization. And if you have doubt in that, then you just need to look at the Halloween and the Christmas celebrations that take place. So always, always, it will remain as a pagan civilization. So in a nutshell, friends, this is Jerusalem's history for the past 30 centuries. Sins and transgressions, Hellenicized Jews, Westernized Muslims, client kings, puppet regimes, humiliation and destruction. The forces of monotheism is needed to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. The forces of monotheism is needed to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. Can such reasoning lead to pacifism? Friends, not as long as the concept of jihad is alive and clear. Not so as long as the concept of jihad is alive and clear. For the sins that we must avoid is the sins of abandoning this very crucial injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever there is a need, whenever there is a need for it, we need to stand up as believers and we need to be amongst those yujahidu bi amwalihim wa anfusihim fi sabilillah. Respected elders and friends, the world needs monotheism because it is only monotheism that can truly provide true universalism. And it can only provide the peace and justice for all as it did in the past. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has so beautifully mentioned in the hadith that he says that al-mu'minuna ka rajulin wahid, that the believer's example is like that of one body. In ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kullu, that we know that if the eye pains in the body, then the entire body pains. وَإِنِ اشْتَكَى رَأْسُهُ اشْتَكَى كُلُّهُ, that if the head pains, then the entire body becomes restless. Friends, their pain is our pain. Their loss is our loss. And not only theirs, wherever in the world a Muslim life is lost, it brings pain to the heart of the entire Ummah. Whether it be in Palestine, whether it be in the African continent, wherever, the Middle East, everywhere, the pain of one believer should be our pain. How much of that pain has infiltrated in our hearts? How much of the pain that our Muslim brothers and sisters are suffering has caused pain in my heart? What can we do? On a daily basis, we can make dua for them. Every day make dua for them. Beg Allah for His forgiveness and mercy. Ask Allah for His forgiveness and mercy. Ask Allah, Mata Nasrullah, O Allah, when is your victory going to come? Allah inna nasrullahi kareem. Allah says, behold, you see, in Allah's concept, there is no concept of time, because Allah says, Ana Dahr. Allah says, I am the creator of time. I am the creator of time. So in the concept of Allah, there is no time. Me and you work with time. Allah inna nasrullahi kareem. Behold, victory will come shortly. Friends, their pain is our pain. Their loss is our loss. We make dua for them. And secondly, we educate our children. We need to sit with them and educate them as to what is happening in the Muslim Ummah. We need to teach them the sufferings and the pain that our brothers in the different parts of the world are undergoing. And thirdly, we are fortunate that now and then we have the opportunity to provide some monetary assistance as well, to give some financial assistance as well. And alhamdulillah, in that regard, we all might have heard about the African One Aid Convoy, inshallah, that will be leaving approximately, I think, next month, that will be going with much needed supplies and aids that is spearheaded by the Al-Quds Foundation from Cape Town, alhamdulillah. They will be taking much needed supplies to our fellow brothers and sisters in Palestine, inshallah. So with this hope that we can also become part of the thawab of this, inshallah, convoy that will be leaving, we have dedicated today's collection, inshallah, after the Jum'ah Salah for this course. So inshallah, let us open our hearts and make shukr to Allah that, oh Allah, you have blessed me with the opportunity of spending in your path. Allah, you have given me the opportunity. May Allah never make the table stain on us, where one day we'll have to be the recipients of that. May Allah always keep His ni'mats and favors upon us, inshallah. And may Allah liberate the people of Palestine. And may Allah liberate Masjid al-Aqsa once again, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.